Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Headspace. Train your mind for a healthier, less stressed life. Download the free Headspace app and begin their Take 10 program for 10 days of guided meditation at headspace.com/allaboutandroid. And by Gazelle, the online marketplace for buying and selling used gadgets. Shop from a variety of certified pre-owned electronics or trade one in for cash. Give a new life to a used device. Visit gazelle.com today. Welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 260, recorded on Tuesday, April 5th, 2016. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Flo Skyping in.
Skyping in from the scene.
At an undisclosed location.
That we've seen many times
in the
before.
Bunker.
In a cave.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's the same undisclosed location.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back.
Thanks.
Last week, we were not here, and that felt like a month ago.
You guys did awesome.
It did, didn't it? It did feel like a month ago.
It feels
ago.
Like a really long time ago, but it was a really good, it was a fun show. It was
life,
all right.
Life is crazy. Yeah. That's why it felt like a really long time ago.
I will
ago.
Say, I said it after the show, it was the first show that you were not here that I was not like panicked. Which I feel like is a good sign.
I thought you guys
did
awesome. You
were cool as a cucumber.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Although I did see a photo, I think it was on Instagram, that was posted. You looked a little panicked there.
Well, I did that on purpose. I mean,
it was the juxtaposition of me and Ron's personalities. I'm always like, and Ron's always like,
I'm pretty sure I saw a sweat, a little bead of sweat
maybe
on your forehead.
A little, but it quickly moved on.
No, so it didn't sound like it at all.
Welcome back.
Thanks. Good to be back. It's also great to welcome to the show for the first time, strangely, but I'm super stoked to have him, David Ruddock from Android Police. How's it going, David?
Pretty good.
It's great to have you here. Yeah, it's great to have you here. We're going to hear all about your thoughts of the LG G5. One thing I've noticed about you, because I follow you all over the place and I'm a big fan of your work on Android Police, you've got a very targeted, sharp perspective on things.
Yes, like he does. Yes.
That's one way to put it. I've received some emails that would put it a very different way.
Yeah. So that's why it's fun to follow you on Twitter, especially because you find out a lot about David and the things he likes, and probably even beyond that, the things he doesn't like.
You gotta be able to respect that transparency.
Absolutely.
That just, to the point, I like it. It's good.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. It's probably mostly the things I dislike.
There's a lot of that, but that's okay because it works for you. We have a lot to discuss this week. Obviously, we're going to hear all about David's full review of the LG G5. We've got the ongoing search for better latency in Android OS. At least that's kind of like a pet project of mine.
It's yours, yeah.
A pet obsession of
your
mine.
Your ongoing search.
Yes, there we go. Although Google thinks it's important. Sure. We'll talk a little bit about that.
Some people
a new
Google.
Look
all
for
Google.
Yeah, a part of Google.
A unit of Google. Yes. A couple of people are like, this
probably
is
a very small part of Google. Listen, but still.
We gotta get this Jason Howell guy off our back. We gotta fix this latency issue.
Seriously, you won't stop talking about it.
Sundar's there in the stand up in the morning, like, where are we on the latency issue?
Well, I appreciate that, Sundar. Thank you for that. Yeah. A new look at Google's Play apps. Okay, it's a little bit of a slow news week. You know, new icons. Makes the news, whatever. We've got stuff. I'll just say that. Let's talk about some news.
Spring is here, which means you should stay inside and pay close attention to Android news.
That's right.
Especially if you have allergies.
Very general Android news. There
okay.
It wasn't very non-specific there, Brian.
You guys didn't give me much material.
Yeah, that's true.
That's fair. Yep.
Sorry,
but
Brian.
But speaking of material, guess what kind of material we'll have at Google I.O. this year, guys?
I don't know at all.
Material design. Virtual reality material, or at least that's what the information is reporting, and that is our first news item of the day, which is that Google I.O. will have a bunch of virtual reality stuff embedded into the Android OS in addition to some AR stuff as well, which shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. I mean, quite frankly, why do we think that they're having it at Mountain View in the first place?
Yeah, like we keep hearing that there's the possibility that VR is kind of getting worked into the Android experience. Yeah. Obviously, Android N, the preview that we have right now doesn't have any of that baked in. And I don't know. I guess I don't know what a world looks an Android world looks like that has VR kind of baked into the OS. Do you have any kind of thoughts on this, David, as far as, I don't know, theories or anything like that?
Well, I mean, I can say that we know that there's anticipated to be hardware that goes with this, and that Google wants to get first party with this. At least that's what we've come mm-hmm. to understand about it. Whether or not they'll actually do it, you know, remains to be seen. Mm-hmm. So I think Google looked at Cardboard and said, well, you know, we had a surprisingly good reception to this idea, which I think honestly was mostly because it was so cheap. But I think Google is looking what everybody else is doing in VR, and they're saying, well, if we don't get involved, then, I mean, it's now or never, kind of, if you're going to get on the VR bandwagon, I think. So it makes sense.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I think that, I mean, and this article that we're talking off of from theinformation.com, you know, posits, you know, that, like, we're going to see, you know, VR, but Google actually believes more in AR than VR
in the long term.
Well, yeah, because it's more, you can have it in more situations. You can use it on the bus, while you're walking, while you're driving, the whole Pokemon game that's coming out.
Right.
And I kind of agree with that because, you know, I imagine I'm expecting there to be VR because of Cardboard and because VR is such a hot buzzword right now and all this stuff is coming out. But honestly, when you think about practical application, I don't think VR.
I agree.
AR is a practical application, and we saw them attempt AR with Google Glass. You know, is this now what the next generation of their attempts at AR? Because honestly, I want a world where I'm walking around and I see stuff the way we were promised it would be with Glass. You know, like, I think AR is a lot more compelling and a lot more googly than VR, which is more Oculus-ly.
Right.
Well, did you see the Project Tango museum tour that they did at MWC? I'm totally Googling it right now, sorry. Sort of like a good indicator of what I.O., you know, will be showcasing. I think it's definitely going to be more of that. And yes, we do have to expect that phone is coming. Right. Which is going to have a lot of that baked in. So.
Yeah, like, I feel like from an AR perspective, what makes sense for Google is, and we talked about this a little bit, I think it was yesterday on Tech News Today, a little bit of what you see out of something like Terminator Vision,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Like, you've got some sort of a lens. You know, Google Glass was, yes, it was augmented to a sense, but it was really just a little kind of thing up in the corner.
Yep.
It wasn't actually taking any of your environment and actually processing it and giving you any information
True.
About that and that kind of stuff. What makes sense to me in the long term is Google bringing some sort of context around everything you happen to be looking at, embedded into something that doesn't look quite as dorky as Google Glass, something that you would normally, you know, that people are used to seeing on faces anyways. I feel like we're a really long way away from that.
But, here's the thing. Here's what I kind of envision after years of playing World of Warcraft with that frame, with the uh-huh. map and your things and stuff like that. Give me contact lenses that give me that and information and text and things
contact
like that.
Contact lenses were even further away from that one.
Yeah.
David, what were you going to say?
I think that the idea of persistent and passive AR is so far away that it doesn't make sense. I think Google presented a vision as far as hardware with Google Glass of passive AR that honestly, we're not going to – the computing power to make something that's actually looking at your surroundings, you'd have to get with wireless and then battery yeah. stuff. And Google Glass was as minimal as I think they could make it. Google Glass wasn't all that geeky looking. It's more that they built up that stigma. And I think Google realized that, and that's why they've kind of backed off on it. I think if Google's doing AR, Cardboard's been focused on these bite-sized experiences, and Google, I think, has used that terminology at least on a few occasions. And I think if Google does go with AR, it will be in that kind of bite-sized context. Like, well, if you go to a location that would be Google AR enabled, like a museum, you take out your phone and you get this AR experience. These locations where it makes sense to have AR.
Mm.
I think that passive AR throughout your entire life it's a cool idea, but I don't think you're going to be able to sell that to many people. And I also think the technology is so far away. In terms of, you know, just being able to get meaningful and useful information out of the everyday world, as opposed to, you know, these catered experiences where you can really control the variables and create something interesting.
think about what we have right now as far as like what we're talking about here as far as like AR contextual, you know, processing everything you look at is an untethered experience. And we have that right now. It's the Microsoft HoloLens, yep. And that thing mm-hmm. is not the kind of thing you're going to walk around your world yeah. at wearing.
I don't know if all the demo, like I haven't tried a HoloLens yet, but if it works the way they show it, I want to live in that world. I want you know how much I want yeah. the Star Trek world. I want it so badly, and yeah. I imagine that it will continue to be refined and all stuff. And the thing is that like you guys might be right that we're way off from that being a reality, but also. Go back 5 years ago, and if we told you where VR would be in 2016, would you believe that 5 years ago? I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the fact that I'm seeing new bits about VR every day in mainstream, I'm not seeing just us anymore talking about it. Like everyone, you know, like, you know, so if you would, 5 years ago, I wouldn't have believed there would be an electric car with a 200-mile radius that would sell for $30,000, and now 200,000 people have ordered one from Tesla. Like, things are happening and things will happen, and they happen at events like Google I.O., which, by the way, is a Mountain View because they couldn't book Moscone, not because they wanted it to be a Mountain View.
Zing.
Nobody wants to have a developers conference in Mountain View.
They couldn't book Moscone. It was booked. We did this already. But anyway, so no, but I mean, I'm excited to see what they come, because I think if anyone's going to bridge that gap between we're way far off and what it ends up being, it's going to be somebody with deep pockets like Google.
Yeah.
Well, it's just interesting because as I'm like talking about it, it's so like I can sense your enthusiasm through the internet. It's so much more than my enthusiasm for it. Like I'm not enthusiastic about this, which is obviously coming across in the way that I'm presenting this information through the show. Like I'm just not, this is not what I'm crazy excited Flat about like yeah. AR and VR. Like I never was into the idea of Google Glass. And that's mostly because I saw like the social ramifications of it and it gave me kind of a bad taste for what that world is. And I mean, that's another discussion.
I don't know if you saw Flo, but I got pretty excited.
The
fact that it was there and it was like, it was so cool. And like,
no, totally, absolutely.
To have that information at your fingertips is something that like, because I grew up playing computer games and all the stuff that tell this future of this, you know, of these devices yeah. and all this stuff. And like, I want to live in that world. I want to have this, you know, and we're close, you know, like we're super, super close, but we're not totally there, right? And I want to be there in my lifetime. So, yeah.
And how they have like their AR thing.
I like that Brian just got that bookmark just in case it comes
much,
up.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty much easy to jump to at this point.
But I mean, I think about like the Yelp app and how they have like the little AR thing where you can point it and see like where restaurants are. And I just think about that use case and how I just never use it. And I think part of that is hardware limitations. Mm-hmm. Like for my phone to do that, it makes it really slow. It makes it really hot. It's not the most pleasurable, you know, user experience. So I think I need a little more convincing.
Yeah.
Quite honestly.
Fair enough.
And VR is still kind of like a fun little commodity. And, you know, it's mostly gamers who are really interested in it. But like some of us are delving in it too for storytelling, that kind of thing. So I'm sorry, guys. I'm not as enthusiastic about everybody else about this particular part of technology.
It's okay. Just keep using Snapchat filters and get excited about that.
Ooh.
That, you know, you're making a good point though, because
if Snapchat supported,
yeah. Listen, David's David's upfrontness is inspiring me.
You're always upfront with me, though, Ron.
I know.
All right, so how about this? This is going to light a fire under everyone I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes Android devices simply aren't responsive when you're interacting with Android, and it's kind of a historical issue. I've certainly brought it up on this show many times, particularly with audio latency, but, you know, touch latency, all that kind of stuff. Google's continually made at least some effort to try and improve it, and now it's open sourcing its WALT, W-A-L-T, thank you, latency timer to help developers test latency on Android and Chromebooks. And basically what they're able to do here with a little piece of hardware, it costs around $50 to kind of buy the parts and put it together. So it's accessible, essentially, as opposed to putting out some, you know, like more expensive product that would maybe limit it to a certain group of developers. Anyone can build one for around $50. The code's on GitHub, all that kind of stuff. But what it does is it synchronizes an external hardware clock which kind of cuts the time down to 1 millisecond for testing and is able to test both input and output, which using a camera is very difficult to kind of get a sense of the latency. It's usually like a round trip sort of thing. This kind of breaks it, both input and output, breaks it down in both directions, and just might be kind of useful for developers to just improve as best as they can using, you know, this sort of diagnostic, the latency in their apps. I know it's not the most exciting story in the world, but I can't tell you how many times, like, I feel slowed down because the device doesn't feel as responsive as it should be.
And you should
at least
be
as a
excited.
Tool to help that.
It is exciting because how many times do we have to watch those freaking Apple commercials where they're playing like the piano? You know, I want to do the same thing. I want to do the same thing with an Android tablet and not have somebody be like, "Well, there's latency issues." But, you know,
yeah.
I'm this thinking back to that music app that you debuted. Or that you showed off on the show, like in one of my first shows back in the fall. And you could tell the latency between when you touched the screen and when it responded.
Yeah.
That's not a good look for Android, especially if we're trying to make it all like, you know, next generation sort of OS. Like, if you want it to be next generation, let's make it really responsive first.
Yeah. David, your point. Sorry. This is really targeted for developers. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
Yeah. So this is different from targeting the manufacturer of the device where they would try to optimize. This is about developers. Probably, I would guess, the core use would be to synchronize the animations with the touch and audio latency. Mm-hmm. I would think that'd be the key use case here. So that when you press the button, the touch screen is synchronized against the animation. Or if you're using a music app, that the animation of the key or whatever button you're pressing is synchronized against when the audio is output from the device. Versus, I don't think this can in any way reduce latency, can it?
Mm-hmm. I don't think in and of itself it reduces.
I think it allows the developers to test it more accurately and then focus on where the latency might be occurring and try to debug it as well. And I guess my big question is, are you going to build one of these?
I'm not a developer.
But you're into latency. You're really into latency.
I'm a really big latency fan. I got to have one of these on my wall just to prove that I have one.
Just to test the app you're using and say, look, there's clearly a latency problem.
Yes. Yeah. Every app going forward that I bring into the arena, I'm testing the touch and audio latency on it. And I'm going to give it a special rating that I've devised. No, I will not build one of these, but I'm sure someone in our audience will. Please do, and let us know your thoughts. AAA at twit.tv.
Like last week, we showed the Amazon released how to build your own Echo, and that's like a $60 project. And now for $50, you can build Walt, and you can be like Lost and run around yelling, Walt. There's a 10-year dated reference for you. 10-year-old reference.
Stick to the 90210 reference.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Please.
Yeah, nobody cares about Lost anymore. Right. But yeah, I got it. Thank you, Flo. I do like the idea of open sourcing it, putting it up on GitHub, and saying, "Here, go for it. Go for it. Let's see what you do with it." Like, that's great. That's excellent to see. So, what's not excellent to see is when developers get screwed. And we actually have a story that hits a little close to home. You might remember Jeff Needles. He used to work here at Twit. About that big. Kind of irritating. No, great guy. I love Jeff. He's great. he's great. He's fantastic. So he created a web app a couple weeks ago called Emoji.life. And it's actually an analytics app because he loves his analytics that connects to your Twitter account and shows you the number of stats around your usage of emoji, including rankings and timeline stats. And then over this past weekend, he found out that his work was systematically completely stolen and made into an Android app by an Android app developer who released an app with the same name, including the same functionality, all the way down to lifting the unique ranking system, as well as Jeff's copy from the app description. Like, I was reading this earlier, and he, like, literally copied and pasted everything. It's a complete direct ripoff, and actually we're looking here at the Medium post that Jeff wrote explaining the situation. And this sucks, and this isn't the first time we've seen it. If you remember, I was a victim of this. In the arena when I did that 3D launcher, that was a complete ripoff of another 3D launcher down to the fact that they left the widget of the one they ripped off in. So, I mean, this is a real, this idea of cloning, as Jeff called it, cloning an app and releasing it, exists and is out there. And it's something that developers have to deal with. And this is something that developers should be aware of. And it brings up the question, like, what can they do when this happens?
Yeah, what is the recourse on this? Like, he reached out to me, and I just thought it, one, like, Jeff and I are friends.
I like Jeff a lot. You can tell if I like someone, I tease him. I do like Jeff a lot.
It's true. Brian knows all about
that. Yeah. Really like me.
yes, exactly. Flo knows all about it too. So you know, on one hand, bummed to see that you put a lot of time into something, and then only like a week later, a direct kind of clone of it ends up on the Play Store. But I just thought it was kind of a good case study for the developers that follow the show, because I'm sure this happens relatively often. What are the recourses when this happens? Is there really literally nothing you can do other than like report the developer through the Google Play Store? Or does it matter that Jeff doesn't have an Android app at this point? And but he established the name and the service prior to the app existing.
Yeah.
I don't know. David, do you have any thoughts on this? Do you have any ideas as far as like a good direction or a good kind of way that developers can kind of pursue something like this?
I mean, the best way is frankly to get media coverage.
Well, there you go.
Google tends to act pretty quickly once they see that their Play Store policies aren't being effective. So, I mean, there are complaint mechanisms on the Play Store. Yeah. If you're not an existing Play developer, I'm not sure if the mechanisms are different, though. If you're a developer, you may have an email basically available to you that may give you a little bit quicker and more higher level access. But even then, developers have been complaining for years about the efficacy of the Google Play support team on the dev side, and that it generally sucks in most ways. So it is a crappy situation when you're in this kind of, especially if you don't have content at Google Play, it makes it harder because you have to basically tell Google, well, look at this, and then you have to, I don't know what the process here really would look like given it's not an existing app.
Well, yeah. And the other thing too is and I'm sure Jeff has explored this, and if he hasn't, I'll shoot him a note and tell him to, whatever, but I mean, I deal with this in my day job. I've dealt with this previously in my other jobs. You know, like I ran a content website, and Flo, you can probably attest this. There are websites out there that wholesale copy articles and republish them on other sites. Mm-hmm. And that's just straight out stealing. And I've dealt a lot with piracy when I worked in publishing. And, you know, currently right now I deal with this in my current job. And, you know, having a lawyer draft up a very strongly worded, intimidating cease and desist letter, because every Google Play app has an email address, has a contact address, so there's a place to start. And I'm sure Jeff has done this already. But you know, you report it to Google Play, and you go after them with threatening of a lawsuit. More often than not, people kind of get spooked and will back down or whatnot. You know, because nobody wants to get sued or that sort of thing. But you got to be. It all depends on how much you want to pursue it. The other side of this, and the bright side, is that it's really flattering. You know, like he did something cool enough that people were like, that's a great idea. I'm going to rip that off. Like,
cold comfort, but
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but still, that's pretty, you know, so.
Still,
yeah.
It's hard. It's hard. It's.
Yeah, I mean.
It's hard.
It exists. It happens. Yeah. That's unfortunate. I do think, like you were saying, David, I think it's a big complication to not have any sort of Google account to be able to compare it against and say, well, I've already got this here and that sort of thing. My advice to him was really just to kind of, report it, you know, through the means that you can find through the Play Store. But beyond that, you know, maybe not expect necessarily that the app goes away entirely, but more so that they just, you know, it's anyone can create an app that does analytics around Twitter.
Right, yeah.
So maybe, you know, it's just a matter of renaming it, because that's, I think, the biggest deal is the brand confusion. Yeah. He also, you know, clarified that this was just a project that he put together. I don't know, you know, what his long-term aspirations were with this, but it really seemed like it was something that, you know, he had fun making, and he was just kind of bummed to see that somebody was kind of taking off with it. You know,
he loves those analytics things. He loves the, that's great.
That's a big part of what he, you know, he gets excited about, and he's obviously very good at it.
Now that said, I'm trying to find it in the Google Play Store.
No,
is it
right
that
there.
One?
Emoji Life for Twitter.
Oh, so it's Emoji Life for Twitter. Yeah. Okay. All right.
There it is.
Yeah, there it is. All right.
So, anyways.
Yeah. And so the other thing is that, you know, you can also, we were talking earlier before the show about how to get support, mobilize your audience. And, you know, if you don't like the look of this, leave a bad review and, you know, like, you know, be, you know, report it yourselves, you know, so.
And it turns out him asking me my opinion was probably a good move on Jeff's part.
Yeah, exactly.
We just devoted 5 minutes of it on this show. So there you go. I hope that helps, Jeff.
I was going to say, I feel kind of a bummer I don't have more time to like help be, you know, a watchdog for this sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It probably happens a lot.
If only you knew somebody who could write an article about it.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Just let that sink in. Yeah.
Blink, blink.
Yeah, blink.
Zorak, blink. Blink.
Blink.
All right. Let's move on. Before actually we get to some hardware news, we got a lot of interesting stuff to talk about in hardware. Before we get there, let's take a minute to thank the sponsor of this episode. That is Headspace. Let's be honest, your mind is capable of weighing you down with, you know, all sorts of junk, fear, anger, stress, anxiety, the point where things just get more difficult. Sleep, getting through a busy day, all that kind of stuff can get all cluttered. You don't have to live this way. It all starts with just 10 minutes of guided meditation a day. That's made possible with the Headspace app. Headspace is meditation made simple. You can listen to their guided meditations whenever and wherever you want, right on your phone, your computer, or a tablet. I listen to it many times after my workout at the gym. I find a lobby, I find an area, put on my noise-canceling headphones, just kind of sit there with my eyes closed for a little bit. And it's a really great way to kind of leave the place and get back to my crazy, chaotic life. The Headspace Take 10 program is a 100% free way to experience the benefits of meditation in your busy life. Meditation is rooted, as you know, in thousands of years of tradition, thousands of scientific studies that show its positive effects, things like improving focus and relationship harmony, decreasing anxiety, decreasing stress, all that kind of stuff. And the founder of Headspace, Andy Petticombe, has just an excellent TED Talk. It's had over 5.5 million views. Andy actually leads all of the meditations in Headspace, really knows his stuff, has a great voice, which if you've done meditations, guided meditations before, you know that voice is a big part of it. You want a voice that you can, you know, that's kind of soothing, easy to listen to, really pulls you into the experience. His definitely does that. He was actually a monk for 10 years. Wow. So there you go. Celebrities like Emma Watson, Jared Leto, Gwyneth Paltrow are among the 5 million users finding peace through Headspace. So download the free Headspace app, begin their Take 10 program for 10 days of guided meditation at headspace.com/allaboutandroid. You can train your mind for a healthier, less stressed life. Start your free trial today. That's headspace.com/allaboutandroid, headspace.com/allaboutandroid. And we thank Headspace for their support. All right, now that we've lulled you and calmed you down, it's time to rile you up in hardware.
Well, that was your arena voice.
It's okay. I have a feeling we're going to get a little riled up.
The hardware music is all nice and soothing.
True,
and you do arena voice.
It didn't match.
Didn't
match. I'm sorry. It's discordant.
Yeah, it's discordant.
I apologize.
All right.
So, David, you wrote an awesome review, as you usually do, on Android Police of the LG G5. But I don't know. I'm curious to hear your thoughts from your mouth. What do you have to say about the LG G5?
And before David gets into it, before David gets into it, I feel like we've been pro the G5.
I've been very curious.
I've been curious. Yeah. So, all right. So, David, take it away.
Yeah. I mean, when I came away from the G5, I was, I realized that my opinion would not necessarily be the popular one. And I just, for what LG's asking in terms of price, for the level of quality on the hardware that they're offering, and essentially the narrative that they're trying to push with this phone, which is the peripheral and to a limited degree modularity aspect, the phone just came up short for me in most ways. And then I looked at what Samsung managed to do with the S7 and S7 Edge, and I said, well, is there really any compelling reason to buy this phone instead? And I really couldn't come up with one. I mean, with any phone, there's always going to be something a little bit different or some other feature that you're going to get that maybe the competition doesn't have. And for the right people, or the right person, I should say, there are some things that the G5 does that the S7 and S7 Edge maybe don't do, but they're few and far between. And often it's you've really got to push a very subjective kind of narrative to make that that choice work for you. And I realize a lot of people choose these devices as a matter of, it's kind of personal identity to them. They start to become invested in the brand. And it's not that the G5 is a terrible phone. It's that the one phone that, you know, you're probably going to be looking at next to it, unless you have some kind of hatred of the Samsung brand, some kind of inherent distaste for Samsung's Galaxy phones. I just, on paper, there's nothing that the G5 does that is so amazing that that really makes it stand out. And the one thing that LG wants you to think stands out, which is this modularity in the Friends accessories, it's a half-baked idea. It's not done. I don't think it'll ever be done. And I think whoever's telling LG this is the future of phones is wrong.
Frankly, I really agree with David. I really, really agree with you, David. Wow. We were just talking about this today, just about how like the modularity part of the G5, it's like, this is supposed to be the standout feature of this phone, but it's not really all there. It just feels like it wasn't all the way thought through. It was just kind of rushed out.
What wasn't thought through, Flo?
It feels like there's no real, how should I say, there's no real reason to invest in the modular parts. There's no real reason to go out and buy like the extra camera, little camera controls or the hi-fi. It just seems like kind of a gimmick, not something that actually adds value to the phone.
Yeah. So I mean, the thing that really upsets me about the modules is LG's essentially saying, listen, you can come pay Galaxy S7 money, basically, to buy our phone. And by the way, would you like to give us some more money to make this phone better? Isn't that great? Wouldn't you like to give us some more of your hard-earned money?
Now, hang on.
$600 phone plus.
Into an $1,100 phone.
I might be the marketing guy at the table. Point. I might be the marketing guy at the table, but that just sounds like good business to me. Because if you think about it, look at Apple's model. Look at like accessories are kind of where it's at.
But Apple is a different, like, it's a different level because Apple's already established itself as that like lifestyle, you know, you're paying for a premium product. Like LG.
Life is good, Flo. Life is good.
I feel they have that in the U.S.
Yeah.
I don't think they have that anywhere. Maybe in Korea. So the two modules they've released with the phone, you've got the Cam Plus, which is a extended battery with some buttons. That accessory to me is mostly pointless. It's an extended battery that makes your phone harder to pocket and more awkward to hold if you're not shooting photos. What is the consumer angle there? And then the other one is, I mean, I don't know if any of you guys are audiophiles, but it's a snake oil box. And that's really what the Hi-Fi DAC is. The Hi-Fi DAC is almost definitely not coming to America. LG has basically said that at this point, unless one of the carriers wants to buy a bunch of Hi-Fi DACs, they're not going to sell it here. And it doesn't even work, the one that they gave us with the U.S. review units, because it's not FCC certified.
Yep.
So, so they have no confidence in that product in America. They only have it because B&O is a brand in Europe. You can find B&O stores in Europe. And so there's that recognition there. And the DAC itself, it's just doing some DSP as far as I can tell. It's not transparent at all. It's shaping the sound, which is, you know, if you're into audio at all, that's kind of the opposite of what you want a product like that to do. So, and then the Friend side, the 360 cam is basically, you know, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Theta S, the Ricoh product. It's basically a much better value than the Theta S. The performance, I'm still trying to figure out. Unfortunately, YouTube stitching doesn't work with it yet. It works, but it looks terrible because there's no profile in YouTube yet for it. So I want to test it some more. I think that could be a cool product, but again, is something that the average consumer goes into a carrier store or a Best Buy or even is shopping online for the next phone, something they're just going to pony up $200 for just because? Nobody's going to do that. You've got to want this specific product to really get into that.
Yeah.
And the VR headset sucks. Just plain old sucks. They haven't sent us any to review, but for the little bit I got to play with an MWC, it's pretty much a joke.
Huh.
David, I was using the camera 360 yesterday on my day off, and sorry, I threw that in there.
Had to drop that in there. Thanks, Flo.
Because it's a big deal. Anyway, I was using it yesterday, and there were some issues with it. Like, for instance, when you do the 360-degree field of view, like one half of the 180 degree will be like one sort of color temperature. The other half will be a different color temperature.
Yeah, that's
so it's not even like the same. It's not even consistent throughout the entire like sphere of the photo. It's just it translates really weirdly to like Instagram and Facebook. And like you said, there's like no YouTube stitching. So I'm not really sure of like the real world situation where I could share this with a friend. I'm still trying to like figure that out.
Yeah,
about
I think
it.
That- I think part of it is that, you know, LG got into this product space. And I mean, don't get me wrong, on paper, this is the cam is actually the most interesting thing they built out of. I think it's more interesting than the phone. But it shows that LG's not an action camera company. They don't make action cameras. Mm-hmm. And that exposure thing is something I noticed as well with the video mm-hmm. too. And it yeah. just shows, well, LG is not familiar with this and they're still learning. So do you want to learn with LG? Is that, you know, what you want to buy into?
Right.
And LG learning is good. Sell.
Yeah, learning is good. So, and the one thing about the phone itself that I really did find novel was the wide angle camera. I felt that LG did bring something that nobody else has. And I think regular consumers, once you show them what the wide angle camera does, like, oh, that's actually pretty neat. You can get cool group shots. You can get, you know, just perspectives that you wouldn't get with a normal camera. So I was genuinely impressed by that part of the phone. But other problems, you know, fit and finish on the phone is subpar, yeah. especially compared to Samsung.
That it's, really screamed out to me when I was reading through your review and seeing the pictures of how the thing connects in there, and you see the little gap. That would drive me bonkers.
The London look.
Yeah. Oh, my God. London look.
Yeah, some people don't have it on theirs, or they claim, but it's there on a good number of them. And then the other issue is like, so on the back where the chin meets also, the line, the seam can be uneven. And so it'll look thinner at one end. And then the light bleed on the display, which is on both the ones I use.
Yes, we have that too.
Oh, wow.
And then you've got another thing. So here's another thing that will drive you nuts. If you look at the headphone jack on the phone, the metal, the chamfered polished aluminum band that goes around the top, the polished portion stops around the headphone jack because the headphone jack would cause, basically, it would form a connection. So they've had to remove the metallic portion of the phone around the jack so it doesn't cause interference or feedback. It's just the stuff that screams this phone was rushed through design QA. I think they really, really did not take the time they should have overall in designing it. Also just looks weird in my opinion, but that's really subjective. So
I thought it looked okay, but I agree with you about the rushing thing. It does feel really rushed out.
So it sounds like what you're saying is not a worthy predecessor, even though LG is kind of doing new things, which, you know, I like to encourage new ideas and stuff like that. What I'm very curious about is what this says for just modular phones in general.
Yep.
Project Aura, Google's, you know, attempt, although we have yet to really see it in any tangible way other than a few, you know, things here and there, drips and drabs. But, you know, Google has said in the past that they have pretty high hopes on the kind of broad appeal of something like modular phones, and that Aura would be priced accordingly for the masses. Does this kind of spell, you know, potential doom for modular phones? Do people really want modular phones? Is it worth it?
I don't think it's going to take off in the U.S., quite frankly. I think it's more of like an emerging market sort of thing, like where you would share a smartphone, like, among your neighbors, or you would share a smartphone among your family. And I bring this up because I actually talked to somebody at the first Project Aura dev conference who told me of this exact scenario with his family in India. Like they literally share a phone, some of his cousins, and they just swap SIM cards. And so I could see it being used like that overseas, but like over here, I think it's just way too novel. Like the idea of just swapping in and out. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll
and
see.
This is definitely kind of a weird implementation just because of how rushed out the G5 feels and how like half baked it feels. I think if it were a little more thought through, it would maybe be a little more successful. I like that they're trying to sell people on the idea of like, well, throw in a free battery and a charging pack so you can like always have a charge. Like that's kind of a good way to get people to think about like, oh, okay, this is what modularity is. But I just don't know if that's...
Because
makes a really good point. Why would you buy a little holster that to put on your phone that you can't even fit it inside your pocket?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's weird, but the idea of a modularity, I mean, seriously, open my bag and I've got three Mophie batteries with USB cables, and you know,
so
and
you're then, used yeah, to carrying
I'm,
around.
I'm used to carrying around, and actually, that's worse. I mean, if I had a modular component that I could slide in and you know, do whatever, I would totally do that, as opposed to having this cable run off to this other thing and putting it in my back pocket and having to buy new cables because they always break because they're not durable and all that stuff, you know, like, so I think it's in the right direction. And I think that the modularity, like and the thing is, I recognize I'm prone to hyperbole and I'm also prone to gimmicks, to get excited for gimmicks, but we talked about how we've reached a saturation point with phones, and I applaud them for trying something different, and maybe it was half baked or maybe it was rushed for whatever reason, but maybe the next rev will be tighter and will be better and we'll introduce more modularity as opposed to just dismissing it completely.
It's very true. Well,
yeah,
I think the other thing too is, for me, I feel a bit more almost like LG is essentially in a small way wronging consumers by selling them this concept as something that's ready. And it's obviously not. And you can also guarantee that the modules for the G5, almost certainly, they probably won't work with the ones for the G6, assuming they keep the concept. They will almost definitely not work with the phone 2 years from now. And that, to me, is I wouldn't say LG's promising they will, because obviously they're not, because that would be stupid of them. But consumers probably are trying to, you know, they're looking at this like, oh, well, it's kind of a way maybe of future proofing. And I'm sure LG would love for that narrative to start to get some traction. So I think consumers are basically being told, you know, this idea is ready, and then it's obviously not ready. And and I don't like when companies do that to consumers with a mainstream product, which is what this is. Yep. So I don't that doesn't give me, I don't feel good about that.
No good feels.
No good feels. Well, I got something that will try to give you some good feels, David.
Yeah.
Since we're lacking on the true news, we have leaks to entertain us with.
Yay.
In fact, the Huawei P9 images have leaked, and this time with the Leica camera present on the back of it. The Huawei's London event is scheduled tomorrow, but these images have leaked out in advance of that. And it looks as if the P9 will be focused at will be targeted towards photography enthusiasts, along with the, you know, as the event's tagline is "Change the way you see the world." And that Leica camera is a result of their partnership that was announced back in February. And the Leica Summerit lens is part of Leica's mid-range lens category. It's got a f2.2 aperture and 27 millimeter focal length. It's got a dual rear camera setup and 4 gig of RAM, a 5.2-inch 1080p display on the phone itself. Looks kind of nice. And yeah. Leica is a great brand. No idea if I'm pronouncing that right. Leica.
You are. See that that slideshow on the Wall Street Journal today about like inside Huawei's campus?
Yeah.
Mm-mm. I didn't.
I bring that up because you just mentioned it looks like a nice phone, and that's something that Huawei has been trying, you know, they've been really trying to get the public to know them as a design first sort of smartphone company, which you see with the Nexus 6P. But one interesting statistic that stood out from that little slideshow is that the median age of Huawei employees at their Shenzhen headquarters is 33 years of age.
Is that good or bad?
So, well, I just think it's interesting, like, who they're trying to market the phones to. Me, basically. But I mean, that doesn't really have to do with the P9 being announced tomorrow. I just thought it was a really interesting thing to consider because they're going with, like, you know, Leica, it's a big brand, and thus millennials were like, ooh, Leica, don't they make nice lenses?
Strong in photography, millennials love their photography, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so.
Yep.
I don't know, and Huawei.
But come on, guys, aperture of f-stop 2.2, it's not really.
Yeah, kind of.
We're in 1.7 on the GS7, man. Anything, you know, anything bigger than that or smaller than that? I always forget how to use that terminology. I don't want it.
Anything something-er than that?
Yeah, anything something-er than that? Like,
yeah, there we go.
Just show me 1.6, man.
All right.
Yeah, well, we'll hear more about this, obviously, tomorrow with the official event.
I want more leaks.
I like Huawei's hardware, though. Especially lately, they've done a really good job with kind of the hardware design and everything.
But this is going to be a global phone. Yeah. So Huawei did tell the Wall Street Journal today that they were going to announce another actual U.S.-centric flagship later this year. Hmm. So something tells me probably summertime again.
Yeah.
Cool.
Excellent. And what about the Zen phone?
And the Zen phone, which is what I was supposed to segue to.
That's okay.
Talking about the P9. So actually, I reviewed the Zenfone 2, and I really liked it. I thought it was a great phone for the price. So now we're hearing rumblings about the Zenfone 3 and Zenfone 3 Deluxe. Photos and information have been leaked about this forthcoming device from Asus. It will have a 2.5 dimension. What does the D stand for in these notes?
I don't know. It said in the article.
Dimension.
Yeah, 2.5D glass. It's like where the glass curves a little bit, but not that much.
All right.
So then, David, does that mean that? Okay, so I'm happy that David spelled that out because I read it in the article and I wanted to ask about it because I was unclear on it as well.
You left it there for me to read.
Well, sorry, I put in the notes from the article.
It's the facts.
It's all I had. 2.5D. Is that a curve on the whole display, or is that a curve like the rounded edges that you see on some displays?
Yeah, I think it's just the edges. So it gives it that kind of like surface tension of water effect. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
I guess
right.
The edges.
The S7 has that.
The waterfall drop off over the corners, which also means that. Probably if your phone falls, I don't know, out of your pocket when you're sitting cross-legged on the floor, maybe this far from your pocket to the floor and lands on that curve, it's going to crack.
Well, it's landing on concrete.
Yes,
on the curve, yeah.
Anyways.
The Zenfone 3 will also have USB Type-C, fingerprint sensor, laser autofocus. It will come in gold, silver, white, or black. I'm misreading those. Anyway.
No, that's what it said.
It's expected to be announced at Computext end of May, which unfortunately I've never been to. I would love to go, but.
Someday.
It should prove to be a good phone. You know, I really like I said, I really like the Zenfone 2 last year. It was a really good, affordable phone. Mid-range, affordable phone.
Hopefully they don't load it up with bloat after the fact.
That was the thing
they did with the Zenfone 2.
All the stuff that they load. I mean, for goodness sake, they put the Mac keeper of all apps on there, Clean Master.
Yeah.
You know, any time I see that come preloaded, I'm like, red lights, bad news, not good.
I'm wondering if Clean... Oh, okay, so check this out.
Wow, good call.
I was like, whoa, I wonder if it's ever been in the arena. Clean Master was in, albeit a long time ago, episode 103.
Wow.
I actually command-F'd that once, and I'd like to know whose that was.
Well, let's see.
I have a phone to pick with them.
It was me.
It was Jason, and not only was it Jason... But it won the arena. It was
insane.
A win.
The membrane.
Yeah.
What was the date on that show?
That was April 2nd, 2013.
April 2nd, 2013.
Wow. It was Gina era.
Gina era.
I love that our show is broken up into
episode 103.
Yeah, third host eras.
If you're going back into the library, Jason won.
There we go. Hey. Yep. Hey, the community doesn't lie. Apparently the community was fooled and so was I. So there you go. That was a couple of years ago. All right. Maybe its reputation has preceded itself over the last couple of years.
My app in that arena was Rethink. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. Well, shows how awesome it was, Ron. Shows why it didn't win.
Yeah. That's a very good point, sir.
There we go. Okay, so I apologize about my shortcomings 3 years ago. There you go.
You won, though. Don't...
I won, I suppose.
Still a winner in my heart.
All right, good. There you go. All right, hey, so got an update, or rather a Twitter question from at Poofy Hair Guy. On Twitter. Nice handle.
And we were lamenting our handles earlier.
I like that, though. Poofy hair guy. Poofy That's hair good. Guy. Yeah. Says, please give us an update during Android Show on your wife's Nexus 5X. Please, did the update help? I've talked many times on this show about how my wife has the Nexus 5X and has been... I mean, it's been the only phone that I've ever heard her complain at length about. Mm-hmm. She's just been so upset about it. I think the last time I talked about it, she had just gotten the latest update, which supposedly has helped a lot of people with their 5Xs. So your mileage may vary. I asked her today about it, and she said, quote, about the phone, it's about 40% better, certainly still slow, connection issues, can't multitask. Basically, it still sucks. I don't have to restart every day, but about 4 days per week. I still want another phone. So there you go.
This is a greater question that maybe isn't meant for the show, but why won't you get your wife another phone?
Well, it's not up to me, dude. Why? If she wants another phone, she can get one.
All right.
I'll help her with it if she wants one. I've got nothing against it.
So she picked the Nexus 5X?
No. I thought... I
got... All right. Well, I'm just, maybe this is another show. Maybe this is another...
No, the new Nexus devices were released.
Sure.
I got the 6P. She got the 5X.
All right.
We didn't know. Did any of us know that this is a turd phone when they first were announced?
Did you say a turd phone?
A turd phone.
A turd phone.
No, I definitely did not say turd.
It's not a turd phone. It just has some issues.
Some people have more issues than others.
Okay.
That's true. But not everybody has issues with it.
Some people are.
My Android using bestie is having a good time with the 5X. So I think, they're like Volkswagens.
All right, then.
That you don't know what you're going to get until you get it?
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
And then it gets recalled.
All
right.
Yeah.
don't buy a 5X running on diesel. Recalled. Yes. Well, Jason, your wife could, if she wanted to get a new phone, she's got options.
She does.
In fact, we're going to tell you about those options thanks to our sponsor, Gazelle, who we thank for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. Gazelle is the trusted online marketplace for buying and selling used electronics. You can trade in your old device for cash or buy a certified pre-owned one, or you can do both. For trade-ins, simply visit gazelle.com where you can find your device and get an instant quote. Shipping is free and payment is fast. If you're looking to buy a certified pre-owned device, Gazelle has a variety of Samsung Galaxy phones at great prices to choose from. Each device is fully inspected, backed by a 30-day return policy, and sold without a carrier contract. So go to gazelle.com and see what your old device is worth and check out the selections of certified pre-owned devices today. Gazelle is now providing financing on all devices by Affirm. You simply provide your basic information, you get instantly approved and pay your offer in 3, 6, or 12 months. Easy monthly payments can be made through bank transfer, check, or debit card. Just select financing with Affirm at checkout. Gazelle also offers a 12-month warranty for cell phones powered by Assurance Solutions that cover water damage, cracked screens, Jason, hardware defects, and more.
Good job.
And they've got help is available 24/7 to process claims and return your device ASAP. So don't miss out on getting the best value on certified pre-owned devices. Visit gazelle.com today. And if you're not convinced, these are just some of the benefits that you get from purchasing a pre-owned device from Gazelle. The devices are available in good and excellent condition. Good condition shows some gentle signs of wear and tear, but offers consumers great prices on still great devices. All devices have been put through a rigorous 30-point inspection process, ensuring that they're in perfect working order. And all devices are available for support by major carriers like AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, and Sprint. So give new life to used electronics. You can trade in for cash or buy certified pre-owned. Visit gazelle.com today. They're the perfect place to purchase your new device, gazelle.com. And we thank them for their support of All About Android.
Thank you, Gazelle.
Yes.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys on the show all the time. Awesome service. Let's get into some apps. Am I just using the voice?
You're just using the voice, yeah. It's honestly scaring me.
Yeah, sorry.
Jason's gotten very aggressive in this episode.
Shut up, Ron.
It's the alcohol, I think.
Wait, you guys are drinking alcohol today?
Cheers. We got handed cocktails for the show.
When I'm not there, you're always drinking.
Sorry.
Always drinking.
You're a lot. Whoa.
And to be fair, the last time we had... What? Even Brian has a drink?
Brian!
Well...
You aren't supposed to drink. You're supposed to push buttons.
Oh,
whoops. Wrong button.
That's what happens. All
right. Well, Flo, if it makes you feel any better, you might not have a cocktail, but you've got a new look at Google app icons.
Oh, goody!
Leave it to a slow news week for Google to roll out a new line of updated icons for the family of Google Play apps. These are very bright and very colorful apps that are now available for the Google Play Store, Google Play Movies and TV, Play Music, Play Games, Play Books, Play Newsstand, and they're very flat, they're very materially, and I like them.
I do. They're easier to distinguish in like the sea of icons. You see the triangle, and you're like, Google!
I was just thinking the other day that I hate the Play Movies TV icon. It's just a little red film thing, and now it's got depth and meaning. I like it.
I mean, you can never find it either. It's like it's a red blob in a sea of other red and blue and yellow blobs.
Yep. So I like it, David. What do you think of these?
Gotta never tell Liam Spradlin. I said I don't really care. They're icons. Google's gonna do whatever it wants with its brand, and we're just along for the ride. So it was fine. They're icons. They're nice. They're colorful.
But icons occupy space
on your phone. That's you true. Don't have a choice. They're there whether you want them
or not. You can hide them in the app drawer.
Four of these I am putting in the app drawer and never looking at again.
Which
newsstand, books, games, play movies, and TV.
I use newsstand. Am I the only person who uses newsstand?
Probably.
I don't use newsstand.
I don't use it anymore since I got texture.
I get digital editions of the magazines I subscribe to through newsstand. Huh. And it's wonderful. I read all of Wired on my tablet. I read Entertainment Weekly on my tablet. In fact, I wasn't getting the digital updates of my Entertainment Weekly, and I realized that my subscription had run out, and I just re-upped it. So there you go.
Well, then you're a super fan.
I've been an Entertainment Weekly subscriber since the first year, since 1991. And they're all in my parents' basement. All the magazines. I'm a hoarder. Sorry.
Now a digital hoarder. We already know this about you and your text message digital hoarding habits. David, I would agree with you except for the Play movies, because I just have too many movies that I've bought apparently through Play movies. So use that all the time. But otherwise, I would totally agree with you. There are a lot of those apps that I just don't even use.
I like them. All right.
Well, there you go.
Guys, I subscribe to a crap ton of shows on Google Play. It's probably a waste of money, but...
We should talk next time you're in the studio, Flo, by the way.
I don't ever... Well, all of my content is legitimately acquired. I have no idea where... Else you would
wait,
get
wait,
it.
Wait. It is, no, my content's legitimately.
Let's move on. Let's talk about Samsung.
This is a difficult conversation suddenly. Let's move on. Flo, Samsung.
Maybe we should talk about Samsung.
You're a Samsung super fan, Flo. What do you got for us?
I say we let him go.
Okay, Samsung, you guys, if your people are using Samsung phones and they're having problems, then you really want to check out the Samsung Plus app, which just entered its third version last week. This new version of Samsung Plus comes with a couple of new features. It still has live customer support the way that Amazon's Kindle does, just like, you know, May Day. But this time they can now take over your device if you're having problems like locating where a certain setting is, or maybe you're just having some trouble figuring out TouchWiz because, you know, it can be a little confusing to use. That's what happens when you skin a version of Android.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Samsung Plus.
Did you find out about this in the Samsung Fan Club newsletter that went out this week? Or Crickets.
Yeah.
You know, the thing to me with apps like this, it's like this has got to be way more intimidating for somebody who's not familiar with smartphones to use than just like trying to figure out what it is they're trying to do. Like if you were to say to some people, let some person in another country take over your phone for a few minutes and show you how this works. Like I feel like they would be more hesitant.
Greg is totally here in America.
Look at those piercing eyes on this dude.
They have three call centers in America. They have one in Texas, one in New Jersey, and then one somewhere else.
Keep going, Brian. Keep going. Those eyes are piercing. Those piercing blue eyes.
I will tell you guys, this app is really helpful when your mom calls you a lot about her Galaxy S7.
So do you really not help your mother and hand her off to a Samsung?
Let me tell you how I helped my mother recently. Really?
Listen, Mom, I'm too busy. Download this app, and Steve over here will talk to you. Steve from Samsung.
Can I transfer you over?
Okay, tell us, Flo. I tried to get her to use this dang app, and I was like, Mom, just install the app. I installed it for her, and I was like, here's how you use it. She just wasn't having it. She's like, it's still not working. Like, the battery on my GS6 Edge keeps dying. The other day, she was texting me furiously. She was like, I just plugged it in, and it's not even charging. Like, I don't understand what's going on. And then she's texting me from, like, her coworker's iPhone because her phone had died, and she was like, blah, 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 getting all upset. So I gave her a Nexus 6P, and she's, like, so much happier since I gave her the 6P.
Hey, Flo, it's Greg. Don't worry. I'll help fix your mom's phone. Just give me a call, okay? I got this. Just look into my eyes and don't forget. Samsung will help you.
Don't look at my mouth. Don't look at my freaky box mouth. Just look at my eyes.
Listen to me.
This is a simulation, yes. not a real situation of the Samsung
to our
app.
Audio
this is
listeners.
Total simulation.
To our audio listeners,
I would actually
yeah.
like it better if that
to
was
be
the
fair.
Real idea.
Yes, right. This is how I Samsung like, chooses.
I like the idea that Samsung's trying to like establish itself as like, oh, we can help you because, you know, like Apple has the Genius Bar and that's yeah. like where people go when their iPhones break. And they're like, Apple has such great customer service. So this is Samsung being like, we'll put the customer service for you in the phone. And it's not as gimmicky as it sounds. It actually is pretty cool, but it just, my mom wasn't having it. And so I gave her a stock Android device.
Amazon had this too for
they
their.
Did.
Yeah, they did. Mayday.
Mayday. There we go.
Mayday. You know. I don't know how to use this tablet. Ah!
Here, let me show you how to use your phone for you. I'll just take it over and then do things.
I should have asked when I had the briefing for this app, like
if they could help your mother.
What? No, well, no, I'm. Can you help my mother
in the briefing? Excuse me. I've got a question. And yes, in the vacuum. Can you help my mom?
I did ask about her actually because she comes up a lot in those meetings. Oh, yeah. I was going to say, like, what if they go in and they see all this private information? Like, what if the person, the customer service rep goes rogue and is like, all right, you gave me secure access to your phone. Now I'm just going to, like, take all your information, you know? I don't know.
I don't know on that.
Guys, it's
one.
A really slow news week, all right? Yes. I'm just trying to jazz this up. Yeah. At this
I'm going to guess they signed a very scary document that says that Samsung will prosecute to the fullest extent of the law.
I don't think they'll probably. Just prosecute them. I think they will, like, take a limb.
You never know. They'll be on the premises when they do this yes. infraction.
Samsung like
Game
support
of Thrones
so. Like,
yes. Literally, you're just like, what are you doing? They come over and they just like axe your arm off.
Ew.
Oh, your poor mother.
How about calculators, guys?
I got
to talk about calculators.
We've been doing this show for 5 years, and I've been waiting for the moment that we talk about an update to the calculator app.
Well, this isn't just an update, Ron.
This isn't just an update.
So check this out. It's not just
any calculator app.
Wow, this is
it's
deja
not your
vu.
Mother's calculator.
Okay,
app,
so check this out. The circle is complete, maybe not totally complete, but at least one step closer. Google has broken out and released its calculator app
da-da-da.
Into its own app inside the Play Store.
Da-da-da-da.
Yes, it has happened. We've waited for a long time. We finally have this to look forward to.
But they improved it. It's not just the calculator app.
Well, it's Android Wear support is
Android
is baked
Wear
into
support.
It,
there you
I
go.
Suppose.
Now get the tip on your wrist.
For those of you,
another app.
Okay, who's wearing an Android Wear device
not
right now?
Me, because I lost the charger to the Asus Zen Watch. Mm. Sorry,
I don't have the new calculator app, but I do have an Android Wear device, and I can assume that it will remain about as useful as it has been.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Not very.
Are you wearing your Android Wear device right
now? I don't wear it at my desk because it's the Huawei watch with the Milanese, not the Milanese loop band. They don't call it that. But with the not Milanese loop band, and it scratches on my desk and annoys me greatly when I'm typing at the keyboard and stuff. So
that would annoy
just
me too.
There.
I'm looking forward to that Huawei watch for women. Like, I'm really curious about trying it on.
The Huawei watch for women?
Yes, that's actually what it is called.
Yes, yes,
I know.
Barbara. Yes,
I just
Barbara.
Can't. I couldn't.
The Huawei watch.
I really want to wear the Huawei watch for women.
I know.
Every time.
I know.
Every time.
It's difficult to ignore. J.R. Raphael of, well, Computer World. And by the way, he just launched something new. What is it called? It's called Android Intelligence.
Ooh.
That's his new thing. Cool. He's going to be on next week.
I love
it. But anyways,
he's awesome.
Yeah, it's good to have him back. It's been a while since he's been on. Anyways, he kind of wrote up about the calculator app, just basically saying, you know, kind of what we've talked about on the show many times, just about the importance of how Google is just kind of deconstructing Android piece by piece. I don't know if the calculator app is necessarily like the shining beacon of that, but it's certainly one step closer to pulling all the pieces out so that Android, at least in this sense, can be updated piece by piece as opposed to waiting for a large update to the OS to kind of change things. So
what about that news and weather app, y'all?
What about it?
When did that get its last update? Has that been updated lately?
It was actually not too long ago.
The material update last year.
Oh, that's
year.
True.
Yeah, like mid last year-ish.
It was a big deal. Everybody thought it was dead and they brought it back.
Okay, so how about Google Voice? Let's get that updated. Well,
Google
next.
Voice is like, let's not. I just said, okay, Google.
And now you just said it for everybody that's listening. Now.
That Google Voice app is like so dated. It is like.
Oh, it's bad. But I mean.
It's kind of neat, though. It's like.
It's like a time machine.
Walking into your childhood bedroom.
It really is. That's a really great way to put it.
It reminds you of like the Android.
I remember when this looked cutting edge.
Yeah.
Remember when this looked like the future.
I don't think the Google Voice app ever looked cutting edge. I think it's always looked kind of like, well, this is how it is.
Yes. Well, it's functional.
So much functionality.
All right, so moving on from that, we got an email from Anthony Pruitt Aunt Pruitt.
Aunt.
Said, I was watching episode 259 and the brief chat about Lightroom Mobile. I too am an advocate for smartphone photography and photography in general. I too use Lightroom Mobile quite regularly. Fortunately, I'm one that uses a combination of apps for editing my work. And you might remember this from last week when we were talking about photography and that sort of thing, which also includes editing on my Chromebook. Dun, dun, dun. The folks at Polarr, P-O-L-A-R-R, have a free Chrome web app that supports the raw camera format. It does a great job and is quite similar to Lightroom. The mobile app is solid as well. Give it a try as either a Chrome app or mobile app. I process the below photo using Polar as a part of my personal photography challenge. So there you go. We were talking about being able to edit photography last week. We were saying what tools do we use, and Josh was talking about what tools he uses because he's an avid photographer. And he said that one of the limitations he had was lack of RAW support in Photoshop Mobile, and Polar looks like it'd be a good option. So hopefully Josh is watching. If not, Flo will tell him about this. So
Next time he's overeating dinner.
Yeah.
Because I got to take the Chrome challenge, y'all. I got to try and see if I could use a, $300 Acer Chromebook as a daily driver versus, a $1,500 laptop.
Yeah. The thing with Chromebooks is the Chromebook you use will greatly influence the point at which you want to throw it out the window.
Yes.
So you will reach that point. It's a foregone conclusion. So a $300 one, I tried the Chromebook Flip for a while. It was kind of neat. I like the fact that it had a touchscreen. You could almost use it as a tablet.
I mean, honestly, my best friend does all of her schoolwork on the first gen or second gen $250 Chromebook. You guys remember that one from way back when?
Mm-hmm.
It seems to work for her just fine. So
I feel like your experience with Chrome OS, I feel like maybe I'm just spoiled because the Chrome OS laptop that I have is the Chromebook Pixel and I love it and it's awesome. And yes, I could live on the Chromebook Pixel. Anything less than this, any of the other Chrome OS, laptops that I've used that are $300-$400 devices, a lot less than a Chromebook Pixel, I could not use those regularly. There's just too many kind of cut corners. The trackpad is weird, or the keys feel awkward or small or whatever it is. For whatever reason, the Pixel not only has the Chrome OS aspect, which I can live inside, but the hardware is just as good as any other laptop that I would choose to use on a daily basis. So that makes it okay. I think it absolutely, your experience depends on which one you pick. And I'm not sure that there are a whole lot of them that kind of match the Pixel as far as that's concerned, for better or for worse. I don't know what that means.
You guys, I'm going to be so curious. Like, in addition to all this VR, AR stuff we're supposed to be talking about at Google I/O, I really hope we get a couple more features that have to do with the tablet interface for Android, because I'm just aching for something like Windows 10 in the Android world.
There's a quote. Yeah. You mean like continuity stuff or something?
Yeah, that sort of thing. Just something, it's a very like desktop-y feel to it. You know, something that I could just hook up a Bluetooth mouse and keyboard and, take it from there. I have lots of wishes, Dreams.
Yeah, we can all hope. We don't have to wait too much longer to find out the answer to those dreams.
This is very true.
It's right around the corner. All right. Hey, let's check out some apps in the arena.
Oh, there he goes.
There's that voice.
Many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
So I have to give myself a B- on on running the show in your absence last week. I was so close. Everything went smooth except for the arena poll. Apparently, I posted it under my personal account. And then for some reason, the Bitly link works sometimes. It doesn't work other times. So I
never really gave you any instructions.
No,
on
you
it.
Didn't. And it's, figuring
so
it all out.
The fact that you even got a poll up at all
is an achievement. Yeah, so. But that said, so looking at last week's arena when Jason was not here, our good friend Josh won with Tap It Infinite Wallpapers, came in first with 45% of the vote. Changelogs, my app, came in second with 35% of the vote. And Cartogram from Flow got 21% of the vote. For a while, Changelogs and Tap It was like neck and neck. I was watching it because I wanted to beat Josh. Mm-hmm. And it was like tied for like 4 or 5 days straight. And then Tap It just ran with it. So good
By
job,
By the way, Josh says that's ... What's up?
Oh, all right.
Okay, fine, Josh.
He told me to deliver that message.
All right, Josh.
All right.
Message received.
Don't shoot the messenger.
So that said, our arena stats, thanks to Wade County in the chat room, through week 13, my lucky number, Jason is still in the lead with 5 wins.
Yes.
I'm in second place with 4 wins. The guests are creeping up with 3 wins. And our dear Flo has got 1 win.
This is your week, Flo.
I believe in you.
We believe in you.
Nah, y'all. I just got to, I don't know.
So Jason was out last week, so that means
Does that mean I go first?
You go first, and then I will go because I came. Then Flo should go, and then I go. No, Flo.
who lost?
Jason, Flo, David, me. That's the order.
Got it. Okay, I'm reorganizing.
For some reason, I've just taken over the arena. I don't know why.
No, this is good. This is what you got to do. Yeah. All right. Okay, mine will be pretty quick, and actually, it's funny. I almost came with yours.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
But I had another one that was along the same vein. Yeah. So yours and mine are very similar.
Oh, awesome. Okay, cool.
So they're kind of along the same lines. This is called...
But I brought my tablet.
I don't know if it's Paco or Peco or something, Car Chase Simulator.
Okay.
And the idea here, I'm kind of launching it right now, and I've got audio channeling through for you, Brian.
When I saw Paco, I thought breadcrumbs, and I got excited because I thought it was related to food because I'm hungry.
I'm kind of hungry, too. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and hop into the mall. No, I'm not going to do that next.
Damn, that's some nice music. Oh, sorry. Darn, that's some nice music.
I don't want to do that. Okay, I'm losing already. I'm losing the arena.
Jason, you know how to demo. You know, you're better than this.
Continue. Let's see here. So I'm going to ride the sled right now. So basically, your whole thing here is to try and not get caught by the fuzz. I lost
happened.
Right there. So let's see here. So I'm riding the sled, and it's going to happen eventually. That's the thing. It's going to happen eventually. This is one of those games that's really hard to talk about and play at the same time. So you just really see, and the fuzz caught me. It's kind of silly. Honestly, your app is better, but whatever. You ride around.
Don't pull yourself
short. The fuzz tries to catch you, and there you go.
I just like how it's snowing in your app when it's like 80 degrees outside right now.
It's like Die Hard.
It takes you back, doesn't it?
Die Hard 2, I'm sorry.
I like the art style. It's got that cel-shaded quality to it.
Yeah. Actually, I think both of these apps.
Yeah, you'll see. Wait to see my app.
Kind of have
that.
Yeah. Dang it. I'm doing really bad while I'm demoing it.
It's hard to demo this kind of game.
It is. But anyways, it's a lot of fun. And as you can see, like, it's really easy to kind of like kick right back in, which this kind of game, like, I just don't like it when you finish a game and then you have to wait 10 seconds to play again. Like, you really want to just kind of pick it up and keep playing because you're really only going to play this for a couple of minutes and then, you know, your doctor's going to call you in because you're at the waiting room to see your doctor or something when you're playing a game like this. So there you go. It's called Paco Car Chase Simulator or Peco. I'm not really quite sure, but look for it. P-A-K-O. You busted. All right, there you go. I'm done. Florence, you are up next.
Great.
Come on. Excitement and bullet points.
What's my app again?
Oh, no. It's not starting off strong.
Of confidence.
Hold on, y'all. Sorry. Uh-huh. Alrighty. So today I am showing off. I'm preparing myself over here. Sorry about that. So today I am showing off Contacts Optimizer. If you have a lot of friends like I do, because I'm very popular,
I don't know how much of this I want to show.
You will want this app because it will help you optimize your contacts in several easy taps. Literally, go back one screen.
Yeah, I'm not going to actually import all my contacts.
Oh, you're not? Okay.
Maybe show the Google Play Store screenshots, maybe.
But I mean, I'll show some of this other stuff, but I'm not going to show everybody all my contacts.
Okay, well, it's very easy. All you got to do is select the account you want to optimize, tap to find duplicates, and then they get rid of them.
Oh.
Of course, you want to make sure that the contacts that are being merged or deleted are not things that you need. But at the very least, now when you start typing in a name into the dialer, you won't have to worry about seeing like 7 different entries. So it's pretty great.
These kinds of apps make me very scared that I'm going to like delete some very important, not that I have any contacts that are all that important, but I always get messing around in your contacts is like, it's kind of voodoo. Like, I don't understand how contact syncing, you know, really ends up working half the time, and messing with anything always feels like I'm going to break something. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah. Like, I've done the scan. You can show this, Brian. I've done the scan and it says I have 5 contacts selected to delete. And you're right. I feel very nervous to touch that, but I don't know. I don't think I can do it.
It also lets you mass move contacts between accounts as you need. So
nice.
If you want to move some people, like I have a lot of work contacts that are merged with my personal account, which is, I'm going to be quite frank, really annoying because sometimes I'll accidentally like almost send an email to somebody I really shouldn't for my personal account. Also lets you just like quickly delete any accounts you don't need, finds incomplete contacts that are missing like important contacts, contact entries. So like, hey, this dude doesn't have a phone number. Why is he in here? And you're like, oh my God, you're right. It also digitizes vanity numbers like 1-800-MY-GOOGLE. You know, it locates contacts in your messages that haven't yet been saved. It's got a lot of features that I haven't like completely dived into, but I just, somebody actually, a viewer suggested this to me and I apologize that I don't remember who it was, but when I installed it, I spent a weekend just kind of going through my contacts and clearing them out. So if you've been thinking about doing that to your own phone, this weekend might be a good weekend to start with this app. There's a free tier and there's a paid tier. I haven't actually bought any in-app purchases. I've just been using it as a basic like contacts optimizer. I haven't done any of like the crazy, you know, features that it offers just yet. I believe it's $199 if you want to.
Yeah, it was $199.
Which is not bad. You can make that through a couple Google surveys.
Payment successful.
Yeah.
You know, now I've got extra features.
Optimize your life, man. Don't
professional optimization.
That is cool because, man, contacts, depending on like what I've noticed is depending on, because, you know, Flo, I'm sure you're kind of in the same boat. We played with a lot of phones over the years, David as well, you, and well, I guess we all have. Over the years, like I've had HTC devices from years ago
that totally threw stuff in my contacts. And HTC Incredible like ruined every contact, and now like when I was moving phones, it would always be like HTC blah blah blah. It would just be weird.
It's weird little code that it added in the notes and everything. You're like, I have no that is no reason for being there ever anymore. So it's nice to have some sort of way to kind of manage that. And sometimes, you know, they save a contact in the cloud in one place and in the cloud in another place and then on your device, and you never really know how they unify into one place where you want them all to be. So tools like this can be really helpful. Cool. That's Contacts Optimizer. And it's only $1.99 for the pro upgrade. So there you go. Cool. Excellent choice. All right, David, I have your app installed. I will, is it a financial app? No, it doesn't tap into financial accounts. It's something else. I think I can show this off for you while you talk about it as the short of it.
Yeah, exactly. So Splitwise is basically a way to manage split expenses between people or groups of people. I use it with my girlfriend whenever we go to the store. Like, one of us goes to the store and buys some stuff, and we just put the expense on Splitwise and say, well, you owe me half of this, or you owe me 60% of this, or whatever you spend. And it's just a great way to turn expense management into something that you can track on a long-term rolling basis that doesn't require like working into bank accounts. It doesn't require really, you have to sign up for Splitwise, but other than that, it's pretty plug and play. That's probably the really wrong phrase to use for an app, but
What's great about it is really that it's just so simple. I mean, there are some powerful tools in it. You can categorize expenses, obviously, and you can apportion things by percentage. You can apportion them by fraction. You can apportion them by exact dollar amount. You can create different groups that manage expenses. So if you have a group of friends that you're always going out with for lunch, or people at work that you're buying lunch for and then getting money back, you can create a group that is just for that specific purpose. And if you spend like $80 on lunch for everybody, and you can just go into those individual, that group, and have people that also use the app and bill them basically and show them how much they owe. And then you can settle up later. I think it integrates with Venmo, but I'm not sure because I don't use Venmo. But you can also just record cash payments and stuff. It is, there aren't too many apps like this exactly. Splitwise, it's for something that is like totally just focused on this one aspect of how you split money and apportion expenses. I think it's unique. I've not seen anything else that does anything exactly like this app does. So it's something I've used for probably going on 2 years now. And I've always liked it. I was surprised you guys hadn't covered it before, but I guess,
never heard of it.
It's a good, yeah.
This is like splitting an Uber. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, you can use it for that, though. It's like you can use it for anything. You don't have to worry about using – it's just so – it's focused on what it does, and it does it pretty well, in my opinion.
Hmm. Cool.
And it's well-designed. I like the
material.
It just got a material makeover like 2 weeks ago, so nice. It's all new. So it's looking prettier now, although some of the changes they made to user flow weren't my favorites. So it seems a little – less easy than it was before, but that's probably just me having a hard time adjusting.
Change is hard, as they say. Excellent. That is Splitwise, and it is free. Take the audio input, Ron.
I did,
because you are up next.
All right. So Splitwise, that's a good app, actually. I'm jealous.
I feel like you had something along those lines, like splitting a bill, but it was
done all. Yeah, no, I definitely did a splitting a bill one. Yeah, but that was years ago too. Because we've been doing the show a very long time,
long enough for me to bring Clean Master in years ago, probably before it had
episode 103, Clean Master. All right, you guys know me. You know what I do. You know how I earn a living. You also know that I very rarely bring games into the arena, but after the week I had, this game was like a godsend. It is called Flail Rider, and as Jason mentioned, it is somewhat similar to, actually I was still playing it, I want to do it from the get-go, let's launch it, somewhat similar to Jason's game earlier,
kind of,
but also different. Basically, this is a driving game. You can steer a car, and the car is dragging a large morning star, which, for those of you who don't know, is a chain with a ball with spikes on the end of it. And the trick, the plan is to destroy as many buildings as you can in the time that is allotted. So I will first show you this. So see,
Ron, let's have steam.
Here is the car. Here is the morning star.
Do what you gotta do.
Here are the buildings. By tapping, I start the car going, and now I can steer, and I wreck the car. The idea is not to wreck the car. Do not hit a building.
I found it took me like 10 plays for me to understand
the
control.
I got the hang of it. Yeah, yeah. It's hard on the angle, so bear with me here, folks. But you can see there's... there we go. Look at that destruction.
Yeah, you're good at this. You're way better at this than I am.
Well, what I found is that you go insert... You make donuts, and you just make progressive little steps forward. And there are little power-ups you can get by destroying the buildings. You see, now I've frozen the morning star.
That's really
fun. Yeah, see? So now it's a big ball of ice.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. I'm going to go get some of these coins. There we go here. And I'm going to go... Ah! There you go. Yeah, it's great. So I got a little more time. I'm having a really good game right now, so...
Yeah, you're doing really...
You can get a little boost, which makes you invincible. If you ever played Mario Kart, you know what that's like. You know, imagine it go... Dun, dun, dun. Oh, we don't have music, do we?
Yeah, I can hear it.
Oh, you can? Okay. I'm very deaf.
You were doing awesome, dude.
Yeah, I know. I'm doing pretty good here. I like destroying things because the post office hates me.
Yes, it does.
So this is pretty cool. So now I'm just going to crash because I want to move on and show you what happens. So I'm going to wreck. Okay, so once you've wrecked, then what it does is it gives you a score, and there's a whole leaderboard and all that sort of stuff. I'm now a novice wrecker. But what's interesting is that There are two ways to get more cars. Of course, you can spend 99 cents and use a in-app purchase to buy a new car, but you don't necessarily have to. What they do is they have time-release gifts. And so I'm going to take this gift. I'm going to take it, tap it, and it's going to explode and give me more coins.
Yay.
And so you see the next free gift is in 59 minutes. So in an hour, and it says, you want to set a reminder? I'm not that obsessed. No, thank you.
No.
So now that I have enough coins, I can unlock a vehicle. And so I can unlock a vehicle for 100 coins. I'm going to do it. And it's going to pop out. And see, I unlocked the school bus. And so now I can play the school bus immediately. Or if I don't want to play the school bus, I unlock the double-decker bus, which I was playing while listening to the Smiths earlier. I also unlocked a limo. I unlocked the 1957 kind of Chevy. There's all different types of cars. There's a tank. There's a Hummer. There's a, you know, there's a bulldozer, an ambulance, which I find kind of funny. You're destroying with an ambulance. but I'm going to go for the double-decker bus so I can crash into us. And there it is. Yeah. So flail rider. Great for letting off steam. I was waiting for a conference call to start earlier, and I was just playing it for a couple of minutes. And it is pretty good in that regard. A lot of fun. Once you get the hang of it, once you get the hang of the steering, it's really easy to get the power-ups and to continue your time. And, yeah, just fun times. Free in the Google Play Store. Flail Rider. So there you go.
Man, there was a game for the Nintendo 64 that was...
Vigilante 8.
What was it?
Vigilante 8.
No.
No?
But maybe that also... It was one of the early games for the Nintendo 64 where... A vehicle. No, it wasn't Twisted Metal either. Although I can see the similarities of Twisted Metal in this to a certain degree. But it was about a vehicle had a determined path, and you had to clear out the path in front of it by mowing down all these buildings and everything before it ran into it. This game just reminds me of that. I cannot remember the name of that game for the Nintendo.
It wasn't. Yeah, it's Blast Corps, right?
Blast Corps. There we go. That was it.
Yep.
So I
it was a fun game.
Yeah, I had the same amount of fun. Or similar style of fun, yes. Something like this where you're just going around tearing apart all the buildings and everything to make sure that the vehicle that's on a path doesn't run into anything.
Well, what reminded me was that, like, I remember as a kid playing in the arcade game, playing Rampage, which was just so much fun because you were King Kong and you destroyed a building and it was fantastic. And so I guess the idea, sometimes you just want to destroy stuff. So
yes.
Sometimes that works.
It's true.
So there you go.
Often I want to destroy stuff.
There it is.
Virtually, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can vote for your favorite this week. Just go to bit.ly/AAAshow260. bit.ly/AAAshow260 to vote for your favorite app this week. Is it Paco Car Chase Simulator, which I promise is better than my demo, Contacts Optimizer, Splitwise, or Flail Rider? Place your vote. We'll check in on it next week.
It is a rare arena that I do a game. So
I was going to say, people. I had it on my list, and then I saw it in there. I was like, what?
I pulled an audible. I had a different app. I was going in a different direction. I was like, nope.
Rod never does games.
I'm doing a game. I got to keep you guessing, Jason. That's my plan.
I understand.
I'm voting for Splitwise, though.
Great stuff this week. A lot of fun. David, man, it's awesome getting you on the show. Got to have you back sometime. I hope you'll join us again.
It's a good time being on. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Tell people kind of what you're up to, where they can follow all your work, both at Android Police and just kind of on the social web, I suppose.
You can find me at my incredibly hard to say Twitter handle, RDR0B11. And of course on AndroidPolice.com.
I feel like that needs a repeat. RDR0B11.
RDR0B11.
There we go.
You can also find me on Google Plus, but nobody goes there anyway. So it's okay.
Man, Google Plus has really slowed down, hasn't it?
Jeez, there we go.
There we go. That works. Thank you, David. We'll get you back here soon. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks.
And Ron Richards.
Yes. So if you want to follow me, go see what's going on, go to about.me/RonXO, where you can find my links to Twitter and Instagram and Google Plus and Facebook and all that fun stuff. do some other stuff. By day, I'm over at getdrop.com working hard on kitchen recipes for iOS devices. Android coming soon. But most importantly, my podcast, Goodfellas, Goodfellas Minute, actually at goodfellasminute.com. We're in the last week of analyzing the Martin Scorsese picture, Goodfellas, 1 minute at a time. Friday is the last episode.
Oof. Congratulations.
It's been a long way. That's probably why I'm a little wacky, because 145 episodes in the books since September. So,
wow.
Daily podcast done. So, but that said, crazy, it will continue to live on. If you didn't listen to it now, you can always go back and start at the beginning. It's evergreen content, so go enjoy it. So,
it's true. If you like Goodfellas, it's always going to be applicable.
It's better than Dances of Wolves. That's what we learned today.
You should
even
do
though
that.
Because Dances of Wolves won the Oscar the year Goodfellas came out, which is a travesty.
What?
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Thank you.
That doesn't make any sense.
Thank you.
So. Flo, what about you? What you working on?
I am working on that long iPhone 6S versus Galaxy S7 shootout. I'm hoping to finish that this week. So, it's a lot of work.
I'm sure it is.
To look at histograms and,
fun.
Fun things like that.
Histograms sound fun.
I'm sorry. I'm not. I wasn't more energetic today, y'all. It's just, I still wish I had was on my day off from yesterday.
You're still chill. You're still chill.
Yeah, I'm still kind of chill from yesterday.
Yeah.
It's all good. It's all good.
So, come find me at pcworld.com and greenbot.com and my Twitter handle at othatflow.
Do it.
Where I will probably tweet more tomorrow once I have more coffee.
You don't need to apologize. You're living your life. You're going with
living
the flow.
Living my life.
Yeah. LIVIN. What about you, Brian?
Well, Padre's been gone for a little while, so I've been keeping myself busy with the 3D printer, the MakerBot we have in the producer room. Ooh.
What
so
did you make there? What is that?
Of course, I made a little stand for my Pokemon Game Boy. But we're going to be having some 3D printer segments is basically what I'm getting to on Know How. So tune in to that on Thursdays with me and Padre. And then you can also follow me on Twitter at @cranky_hippo.
Excellent.
You guys taking requests?
Yeah.
I could totally do some requests. And to be completely honest, that was not the first thing I 3D printed, and I probably can't say what I actually 3D printed as my first thing. Although you might have seen it on that.
I'm really curious.
Me Too. What is that? Me app?
Tomo?
That just, Miitomo. I posted a picture of it on there. So.
Oh, okay.
Our Miitomos, by the way, have been talking a lot lately. Every time I get in there, you're like in my house.
I know, right? A little chatty Cathy.
Talking.
So you.
Oh, this Miitomo thing.
Brian and I hang out on social media all the time, you guys. We hang out on Snapchat. We hang out on Miitomo.
I'm surprised that you're all about Miitomo and you're not about power puffing yourself, Flo.
No. I know. I saw that come out this weekend and I was like, ugh, I'll get into it later. I'll try it out.
Jason's so out of the loop.
I don't even know you kids these days. About.me/Jason Howell. Follow my music at illegalmusic.com if you want to. And that is it for this week's show. Thank you so much for joining us today and every week. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA, though you probably won't. Send us an email, AAA@twit.tv, though you probably do a lot. We get a lot of emails. Twitter, we are at Android Show. We have a subreddit, twitaaa.reddit.com. Basically, all you need to know, go to twit.tv/AAA. Everything you really need to know is there, including ways to subscribe to the show. And you can catch us live every Tuesday at around 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye-bye, everyone.